Snowpack was below median, below average, below what we typically see. In most particularly in Montana, in the southern basins, the worst basins were the Jefferson and the upper Clark Fork basins. In the northern basins, such as the Flathead and the St. Mary, snowpack was actually above average.
And the snow melt, when did that really start kicking in? What, and I guess it slowed off with this cool spell we've had.
Yeah, we had some early snow melt in March, and then snow melt really started to ramp up in April, in most parts of April. And then, of course, in May, we really got the typical melt that we see, a little bit above average in May.
So then what does this portend for the rest of the summer, spring?
In terms of where the snowpack was and the melts that we have seen, streamflow forecasts, volumetric streamflow forecasts, are looking to be below average in most basins, most particularly the southern basins. Then the northern basins, we're looking at average to above average streamflows. This year, the range is large. We have some streamflow forecasts that are as low as 36% of average, and then the majority of the forecasts are around 70 to 80, some in the 90s. On the west side, the forecasts are in the 80s and 90s. In the 13 western states, snowpack and streamflow forecasts have been relatively variable, actually. Snowpack in, say, Colorado, for example, which I'm not all that familiar with, but I know that snowpack in through March was pretty bleak, you know, looking at the 50% of average range. But since March, Colorado had some pretty good storms that increased snowpack, but I don't know that it really increased their water outlook for the summer all that much.
And University of Montana School of Forestry and Conservation's Dr. Steve Running is again developing a new drought monitoring remote sensing tool using NASA satellite imaging.
Yes, of course, drought is a big issue all through the Rocky Mountain West. And what we've been working on with our big NASA projects for probably a decade now is to monitor drought by satellite. We're able to do because we use a combination of satellite data and daily weather station data is do a calculation across the entire state of Montana, every square mile, one by one. And so we can map the entire state on a daily and weekly basis for development of drought conditions. We're just building the computing structure to do this, so we haven't actually got it into function yet. We've been doing the global monitoring with the more coarse global meteorology, but we haven't done the state of Montana yet at the high resolution. That's the big step forward we're doing now.
Tell us about the structure that makes this happen.
Well, this really is a foundation built on the foundation of our NASA work that's gone on for 20 years of first working with the satellites, learning how to write algorithms to process spectral reflectance data and turn it into something that relates to the landscape directly, and how to use large volumes of daily weather data and stitch them together to a complete surface across the state rather than just a station in Missoula and a station in Butte and these different stations around the towns. We build a complete data set that covers the mountains, covers all the way across the plains where there's no stations, and provide a comprehensive measure of the daily weather conditions for the state. And that's what then will drive this drought monitoring algorithm.
So who does this affect? What does this mean for the average Montanan, be it a farmer, rancher, whatever?
Well, I think what it does is allows us to first not rely on national drought mapping, which doesn't focus on Montana at all. They have a general drought map that comes out of Nebraska that I think calculates no more detail than a countywide basis. And this, we're going to each square mile. I think it also provides us the raw information flow for some decision-making on water management, decision-making on some outdoor recreation issues, and particularly about the development of drought and in different parts of the state. We also think it may end up being important in crop insurance analysis, because if a farmer has a crop loss based on drought, they have to document that to the insurance company and prove that they had a drought. And we think this might be a very good unbiased measure of drought impact in various parts of the state that will allow them to provide documentation for an insurance payout. And so there's a number of things. We probably don't know all the uses that will arise once we start generating this data set. And, of course, then the next step after that is forecasting.
And that sounds like a big step.
That's a big step theoretically, but it's certainly what everybody wants, to be able to kind of look forward and see what's coming in the next month or two. And this provides a platform to work towards that. It certainly, we won't be doing forecasts now, but it'll provide the ability to develop that for the future.
What's that timeline?
I'd probably say 2, 3, 4 years.
At a cost of? How is this being funded? What is it costing?
Well, this is the difficulty right now, is our funding has always been from NASA, and NASA's interested in global and national scale work. NASA doesn't fund state level operational week to week activity. And so this is something where if the state of Montana thinks this is valuable, they will have to start a funding stream somehow. And we really don't have a specifically funded project yet. The state legislature had an opportunity with a couple of different bills to support this and didn't. Oh, I hope we can get this going this summer, get a look at the state on a week-to-week basis from a drought point of view, and maybe people start to see value in this so that by next summer we can have fully established the ability to do this in an operational, automated way, and then just do it from here on out.